the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Goldman Sachs just released a report forecasting that stablecoins could become a trillion-dollar industry, and it's calling it the start of the stablecoin gold rush. But while Wall Street is only beginning to frame this as a trillion-dollar opportunity, Yellow Card has already been on the front lines of this transformation in Africa and emerging markets, where stablecoins aren't just a speculative asset like Bitcoin, they're a financial lifeline for many. This may have slipped under the radar somewhat, but the stablecoin adoption trend just got a push with a new partnership between Visa and Yellow Card, which is now Africa's largest stablecoins company. It's recently expanded into seven key emerging markets, including Argentina, Brazil, Bangladesh, India, Mexico, Pakistan, and Colombia. Well, joining us now to discuss this is Kamogelo Mosima, South Africa Country Manager for Yellow Card. Hi, Kamogelo. Thanks very much for your time. Explain this deal between Yellow Card and Visa. What does this mean for your customers?
Hi there, and thank you so much for having me. I think it's a very important conversation to be having with all the excitement around stablecoins. Definitely. So this partnership between Yellow Card and Visa is about closing the gap between digital currencies and traditional payment networks, essentially. So historically, as you would know, one of the biggest challenges for stablecoin users was essentially the moving between crypto and fiat seamlessly. And there's a myriad of reasons for why that was an issue. But for example, if you look at converting digital USD into usable local currency or card payments, that has always been quite a challenge, whether it's from a regulatory front, whether it's from a banking front. And so through this integration with Visa's global network, what Yellow Card customers can now essentially do is, number one, they can instantly fund or cash out using Visa cards. They can use Visa secure infrastructure to settle and reconcile. And the big one is they can access stablecoins for cross-border payments while still having a familiar on or off ramp in their local market. So essentially, this partnership allows for a vehicle to be generated where businesses can now remit money using stablecoins as the main sort of driver. And because it's so instant and seamless, they essentially don't need to have the stablecoin sitting on their balance sheet, which, as you could imagine, most large corporations would prefer for that not to be the case. So what it effectively means is now you've got digital dollars, and those digital dollars now plug into the same payment rails that power everyday commerce. And so as for Visa, it's equally strategic for them as well, because it's demonstrating how traditional networks and compliance, crypto compliance companies can work together to make digital currencies more mainstream. I think there's always been this friction in sentiment when it comes to digital currencies. Essentially, you know, regulators have always been against it because it's always been associated with, you know, crime or whatnot because of the decentralized nature. But, you know, our standpoint is no, in fact, this is a vehicle at which we can incentivize global trade to happen more seamlessly. So from a compliance standpoint, everything would still have to run within existing anti-money laundering and FIC frameworks with, you know, your customer, transaction monitoring, traceability built in. So it's very innovative, but at the same time, it's regulatory grade, if that makes sense. So this partnership allows for that additional credibility and layer and also, I guess, trust element to be added to all the stablecoins.
I mentioned that Yellow Card is the largest stablecoin provider in Africa. Just give us an overview of stablecoin adoption in Africa. What's driving this? Is it people opting out of weak local currencies into something more stable?
Absolutely. This is actually one of my favorite questions. When we look at the world of stablecoins and fintech as a whole, when you zoom out, if you look at the developed world, this is seen more as a fad. It's something trendy. But the reason why this is important in South Africa is because a lot of African countries, or Africa as a whole, sorry, a lot of African countries generally don't have the financial infrastructure that enable businesses and individuals to transact in a normal everyday basis. So Africa has essentially become a real-world testbed for stablecoins in particular. The drivers are very different to what you see in the US or Europe. It's not speculation. And there are three main forces, in my opinion, behind this adoption. So number one is currency volatility and inflation, as you've mentioned. So if you look at countries like Nigeria in particular, or Ghana or Zimbabwe, you know, people have seen their currencies lose double-digit value on an annual basis. Now, stablecoins, conversely, particularly USD-backed ones like USDT or USDC, these now give individuals and businesses a way to store value in something that's more predictable. The second part of it is remittances and cross-border trade. Now, Africa, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, has the highest remittance costs in the world. We're averaging about 7 to 9% per transaction. And stablecoins now have brought those costs down below 2% in many corridors. And conversely, they've also increased the speed at which these remittances take place. So now you're not waiting a matter of days, but now it's happening instantaneously, at the most in a couple of minutes. And now this is incentivizing SMEs. They're now using them for import, export payments. Now you can have a small trader in Accra paying a supplier in China, and they're able to settle that in minutes. And when it comes to the accessibility and the speed as well, many Africans still lack access to efficient cross-border banking, right? Now, stablecoins run on public blockchains. And so anyone with a phone and a wallet can now send value globally. And so on the consumer side, we're seeing demand for digital dollars. And this is not for speculation, but it's rather for stability and utility. And on the business side, stablecoins are now becoming working capital as a tool. Now companies are seeing that, you know, if we use them for supply payments, salaries for remote teams, treasury management, this is a much more feasible and cost-effective alternative to the traditional banking and financial systems they've been using in the past. Now, in South Africa particularly, I've seen adoption accelerate since the FSCA formalized the CASP licensing. Last year, they were handing out CASP licenses to a lot of players, and which that was a sign of good faith from regulators to the industry, in my opinion. It gives institutional players comfort that now this is a space that's becoming regulated responsibly and more mainstream, if you'd like to put it that way.
Yeah, and the World Bank, in fact, does keep its eye on the cost of these remittances. And it's quite staggering in this day and age that you're paying 7 to 9% to move money across border. In some places, of course, it's even higher than that. It can go up to 30%. Now, when you're doing it with stable coins, you're paying generally what, around 1%?
Yeah, it's on average less than 2%, 1.5%. Sometimes in the, you know, decimal percentage points, it's a very polarizing difference if you have to compare it to what was considered the norm.
And I guess this also brings in, again, the partnership that you have with Visa, because you now have bridged that gap between the blockchain rails and traditional finance. Are you going to be expanding these partnerships to get more volumes, more stablecoin adoption?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, Visa was just the first, right? It's the first of several strategic partnerships that we're developing at Yellow Card. So what we're building is an interoperable ecosystem. We want to connect stablecoins into the existing financial systems. So integrations like Visa are paramount, but we also need to integrate with banks, with other fintechs, with card networks. What Visa does from a strategic standpoint is give us that global reach and also credibility, right? Visa is a very big, well-known household brand on a global basis. Locally, we're deepening these ties with certain banks like Nedbank, for example, or Standard Bank. So that the fiat side of these flows is just as reliable as the blockchain side. Now, if you have to zoom out to the bigger picture, it's not that we see, you know, or we don't see crypto and banks as competitors. We see them as complementary parts of the same financial stack, essentially. We're future-proofing ourselves when it comes to that innovation of the financial ecosystem. So as regulation matures, we also expect more banks to open up to those partnerships because those have been the slowest progressing discussions, but they are progressing. There are certain key players, especially tier one banks, which are now starting to see that this is an important sort of innovation that they can't ignore anymore. And especially as they recognize that stablecoins can actually improve transparency and compliance because every transaction leaves a verifiable on-chain record. So, you know, there's this perception that, you know, people can operate behind the scenes. But in fact, It is actually much easier to trace the nature of a transaction with these sorts of tools. So yeah, we are definitely looking at expanding those partnerships to include everyone within the financial system.
Now, you also provide Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies for those who want that. And in fact, I think that's how you started. Is this still a significant part of your business? And maybe just go into a little bit of the background of Yellow Card.
Sure. Yes. So, I mean, Yellow Card was, you know, historically a retail-based application. We focused on the retail market. We were serving to kind of bridge the gap to financial inclusion. We wanted individuals to be included in the financial ecosystem. And so our founders went to Nigeria. They flew there to found the company. And it actually started out as a card-based platform, hence the name Yellow Card. The yellow in Yellow Card, as a fun trivia fact, comes from the fact that you need a yellow fever certificate to visit that country. So I get a lot of questions as to, you know, why is it Yellow Card? Is it a sporting thing? Is it? But that's actually the real reason, as a fun dinner table fact that you would like to share. Right. But yes, we were focused on the retail market. We've seen an increased need for businesses to adopt this sort of technology. So now our focus is bringing big business to Africa. So yes, while Bitcoin and other digital assets are still important, they represent the foundation of that ecosystem, right? And a segment of users who are comfortable with open market crypto exposure.
I guess that brings in the partnership that you now have with Visa. Will you be expanding these partnerships with other companies to get more stablecoin adoption?
Yes, most definitely. So Visa is the first of several strategic partnerships we're developing, right? So essentially what we're building at Yellow Card is an interoperable ecosystem. What we want to do is we want to connect stablecoins into the existing financial system. So Visa was the first and possibly the most strategic of these integrations, given their size, scale, and their credibility. Everyone recognizes the Visa name and their credibility, right? But we want to integrate with banks. In fact, we have already started those integrations with other fintechs and with other card networks. What Visa does is they give us global reach. But locally, we're also deepening those ties with our banks. So tier one banks such as NetBank, Standard Bank, so that the fiat side of these flows is just as reliable as the blockchain side. So the bigger picture is that we don't just see crypto and banks as competitors, right? That's not the intent. We don't want to be competitors. We are complementary parts of the same future financial stack. So as regulation matures, we expect more banks to open up to these partnerships. They've previously been very close-minded towards them, but now they're opening up because they're seeing that, you know, the general public and businesses are starting to see this as a more feasible sort of stack or tech stack as a part of their daily operations. And so they have to play ball. And especially as they recognize that stablecoins can actually improve transparency and compliance, because that's very obviously the reason they've been reluctant for this adoption. Every transaction leaves a verifiable on-chain record. Whereas, you know, with the traditional financial ecosystem, that's not the case. So while it's always been perceived in the back end that, you know, untraceable or essentially because it's decentralized, there is no control over the information. But in fact, this actually improves the transparency and compliance of transactions because everything can be traced back basically to the T. So we're definitely looking at more strategic partnerships that will help bolster, firstly, all the use cases for the end user, and also just to bolster the credibility for the greater industry as well.
You also provide Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, and if I'm not mistaken, that's how Yellow Card started. Is this still a significant part of your business? And maybe just give us a bit of the background how Yellow Card came about.
Yes, of course. Now, Bitcoin and other digital assets are still important, right? And that's actually where Yellow Card started. So if I am to touch on that, Yellow Card was started by a very young founder based in the States who traveled to Nigeria to offer a card-based, you know, crypto solution to retail customers. This didn't really catch on. They were, you know, competing with very, very strong players, particularly in Kenya, the likes of M-Pesa, mobile money providers. And so they had a shift of their strategy. So, you know, just as a fun fact, that's where the card in Yellow Card comes from. The yellow in Yellow Card comes from the fact that he needed a yellow fever certificate in order to visit that country. So we get that question a lot, just a fun bit of trivia, but that's where essentially the business started. And we have since done a shift. So now it's less, I mean, it's still about financial inclusion, but now it's more about bringing big business to Africa. So kind of reversing the direction of the flow there. Now, digital assets, they still represent the foundation of our ecosystem and a segment of users who are comfortable with open market crypto exposure. But if we look at the transaction volume and growth, stablecoins now account for the majority, right? This is your USDT or USDCs. So think of it this way. Bitcoin is the innovation that essentially provided digital value transfer, right? And it works. Stablecoins have now come in, and these are now an evolution of that, if you will. It makes it practical for payments, for savings, for commerce. And so many of our institutional and SME clients don't want price volatility for very obvious reasons. It makes treasury management, liquidity management very difficult. What they actually want, especially when operating cross-border, is a digital version of the US dollar and that they can send instantaneously. And that's where stablecoins dominate. So whilst we still support, you know, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, etc., we still support both because they serve very different user needs. Bitcoin more as a long-term asset, but stablecoins more as a function, a driver for that medium of exchange, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're talking about companies coming into Africa that are going to be using your services and transacting via stablecoin. So what kind of companies are these? Are they smaller ones? The big corporates, do they have any trust at all in stablecoins at this point?
Yes. Funny enough, the bigger corporates are the ones who I'm seeing are more incentivized to hop onto the stablecoin trend. Naturally, they're moving much bigger volumes. And so what that means is there is much bigger costs associated to their transactions. And so they're aggressively looking for ways to cut down on this. But there's really a big diversification. We're seeing small companies, big companies, medium-sized SMEs, you name it. It's basically anyone who has the need to move money across border. We're seeing this in the big four markets, right? Whether it's Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, South Africa. These are the economic hubs. And the largest trade and remittance corridors. And so companies there are very hyper-focused in making sure that they can nail this part of their treasury function, if you can call it that, to the T. We're seeing fast growth in this. There's a lot of adoption. The resistance doesn't really come from the user end. It's more the regulatory discussions that we've needed to progress. But I think as soon as people have seen the opportunity to cut costs, and to sort of innovate, we're definitely seeing high-scale adoption on a B2B front.
Okay, finally, and quickly, if you can, where are the big growth markets for stablecoins in Africa?
The big four markets are definitely Nigeria. They are a massive player. Kenya, Ghana, and South Africa. I think those are definitely the very big on an African context, adopters of this sort of technology. We are seeing, you know, other notable mentions, Zambia, Malawi, really hopping onto this trend. But those are the economic hubs and largest sort of trade remittance corridors, as I mentioned. Nigeria, for example, they account for more than one-third of crypto transactions on the continent. We're also seeing fast growth in the Francophone area. So if you look at Senegal and the Ivory Coast, stablecoins are being used for a lot of freelancer payments. You know, after I connected with the regional manager of that area to sort of understand how that side of the, you know, landscape is looking, and micro trade as well. On our end, South Africa, we're becoming a regional settlement hub, and the reason for that is because we have the strong banking infrastructure. Now, many B2B clients use ZAR for that reason to bridge into USD stablecoins for regional settlements. So looking ahead, we're still seeing the innovation play out. We're still seeing other markets grow to become as big as those major players. You know, we're expecting East Africa and, you know, the greater SADC region corridor to lead institutional adoption. But yeah, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, and South Africa for now are definitely the dominant players within the African context.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Stablecoins, the next trillion-dollar industry. It's already at $250 billion. So it's quadrupling from where we are in the next few years. And it looks quite possible that that is going to happen. Thank you very much for joining us. Kamakhelo Mosima, South Africa Country Manager for Yellow Card.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.